Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, and thank you for joining Accepted as I Am Blog Talk Radio Show here. And a little bit of technical problems, I think I'll begin again. Hi, this is Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. I'm your host, Barbara White, for Accepted as I Am Radio Show. I am doing the show today out in beautiful Boulder, Colorado. So amazing technology today that I can call in and do this radio show from another state than what I'm normally in. I'm normally in Michigan, so this is quite a blessing and quite a gift. So here at Accepted as I Am Radio Show, we come to remember the love, the beauty, the magnificence that we already are, remembering that we're starting from where we're already at. And one of my quotes, favorite quotes from Emerson, which is, journey, 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 never stop journeying, and when you finish, you'll end up right where you started. And that is really the path of spiritual growth. That's how spiritual growth happens, is you will have a insight or an inspiration. It will feel like you, how did you not know this the rest of your life? Or this was the first time that you've seen this, yet you've always kind of known it. And that is the beginner's mind, of knowing that we are rediscovering ourselves over and over again. And it's not, although some cynics would ascribe to this, it's not an exercise in futility. It actually is a process of becoming who we are. It's a, as we discover ourselves over and over, we awaken to what's already there. We expand out into what's already there. In fact, the universe, right? The universe is expanding. We are expanding. And it's something that's pretty miraculous, that there is something growing, there's something evolving, which is also what nature teaches us. Nature shows us that evolution and growth is a continual thing, and we are not separate from nature. Nature is our teacher, and as we see that nature has an evolution, so do we. So we are together right now. We are surrendering to that evolutionary impulse, that energy, that cosmic force, also called God or divinity or the numerous or the luminous or the great void. But we are surrendering to that evolutionary impulse in this moment with each breath together. As we open up and breathe into our body and into our lungs and into our feet, that life force that wants to become visible as us and our voice and our actions and everything that we do. And yet that life force, that universal energy, that cosmic force, that evolutionary impulse needs your invitation, needs you to allow it in. You to open up to it. In fact, spiritual growth could also be called a continual process of opening, reopening. Feels like you're reopening. You know, there's a sense of being closed and then open, a kind of black or white dualistic perspective of it. But it is, again, it's a growth is kind of like a nonlinear, it's like a circle, but yet going in a direction. And I know, dear spirit, I know sometimes it can feel like you're circling down into a drain, but you're not. You're not. It's remembering that there's messages, there's guideposts, there's writing on your heart that's waiting to be listened to. That going within and listening to those guideposts, or not shaming or blaming yourself for what has happened yesterday or a year ago, but rather saying, okay, what was this seeking to bring into my remembrance? What good was this seeking to show about myself? You know, if you intend peace, what happens? The opposite of it will show up. Because as you witness the opposite within yourself or in your world, as you witness it with compassion, without reaction, that is the gateway to greater peace. Or if you're intending self-love, what shows up? The opposite, right? It's opposite, all the ways you don't love yourself. But never forget that the off-ramp of the highway of hell is also the on-ramp. So what I mean is the guilt that causes you to overgive and to sacrifice your needs, or causes you to feel resentful to the world, that guilt, as you are able to be with it in your breath or in a journaling or in nature, or you work with a mentor like myself, that as you're able to be with that guilt even a little bit before adding story to it, before adding food to it or excessive talking or worry to it, that as you be with it, you're not just sitting there doing nothing. You're actually powerfully, magnetically alchemizing that guilt into freeing you of your suffering. So there's an order and a process to this whole thing called self-acceptance or self-realization or spiritual growth. And, I mean, in general, of course, we all, including myself, would just like it to be, you know, whatever our challenge is, we want it over yesterday, right? We want that thing to show up, or we want to just be over that fear, that insecurity now. And yet we have to remember that everything in your life and in my life is exactly the way it's supposed to be. If are we willing to see the harmony in that? Because if we are, then we're able to receive the gift in that thing that we're resisting. You know, acceptance allows you to see the gifts. It's not so you can stay in the darkness. That's not what it means. It's you receive the gift that the darkness brings, the fear, the doubt, the problem. And then you're able to take that gift into action, into your life, and into service to others. And as you take that into action, then you will have some form of transcendent moment where you realize that gift, whether it be greater forgiveness for yourself and others, or a new song, or a new way of looking at things, or a new program, whatever comes forward, or you create something with clay, or you decide to clean up your neighbor's yard, or something, whatever that gift is, or clean up your own yard. That could be the gift you give. I know your neighbors would appreciate it. But whatever that gift is you bring forward, then you realize that you are that gift. Because as that giving, that giveaway happened, you realize that it was always within you. Because you can only give what you have. You know, that's the blessing of serving from a place of pure joy, of service, is that you realize that what is expressing through you and as you and in you is also you. It's inherently who you are. It's your intrinsic energy. So take a breath, if you will, and invite that evolutionary impulse, that cosmic force. And then just make a little sound on the out-breath. Beautiful. As you feel that energy moving through you, you feel that flow, you feel that energy in your breath, or even feeling the breath, remember that that flow that you feel in your body is also the flow or the grace or the energy that exists in your life. And take another breath. Good. And as you feel your belly and your lungs flow, make a sound on the out-breath again. Inviting that energy, inviting that cosmic force to be felt in you and through you. Because remember, the truth is you lack nothing. I know sometimes that's a hard truth to swallow. We want to be told, well, you know, what can I fix in myself? I got to fix something. Tell me what's wrong with me. In fact, we go and we pay people to tell us what's wrong with us, right? Oh. So there's nothing wrong with you. In fact, that idea that you've shoulded or you've done something wrong, in fact, that's going to get you more suffering. There are things we need to take accountability for, no doubt. But they're not wrong, right? Those things that we are ashamed of in ourselves or in our life, those things are the gifts. Those are the blessings. Like I said, they are the off-ramp of health. And yet we tend to go in thinking those are things we got to fix, right? Instead of seeing them as messengers. Those are messengers. What is the message? Can you step out of shame? Can you step out of shoulding yourself? Can you step out of asking what's wrong with you for even 10 minutes? Can you? I challenge you to do that. Maybe 10 minutes a day you step out of asking what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, and you begin to focus on your breath And you begin to invite the awareness of what is the gift that is seeking to emerge. And this thing that you can't get off your mind, maybe a relationship issue, maybe it's a money issue. What is the gift that's seeking to emerge? You know, it's a joke I think I've told in other radio shows, but it's pertinent here, is that it's like a little weed that hits some cement. And when the weed hits the cement, it says, why is this cement here? Why? And if it keeps on asking why, it will invent 1,000 reasons, right? My mom did this, dad did that. Or it will, as it hits that cement, it will ask, this is not fair. I'm going to create committees and support groups about people that hit cement. And it's not, again, as I say this, not to discount. We do need to initially know our story or even be aware of it. But then the task is to let it go. And I really do believe in support groups too. However, we do need to combine the psychology with the spirituality, the psychology with the transcendent. Got to be able to let things go at some point, right? And really allow spirit to flow through us. And to really trust joy and let ourselves be in joy. And that starts within our own heart of letting energy flow, our breath, dance, play, being in nature. Those things that sound so simple are so powerful. To bring that transcendent energy, that spiritual energy to our psychologies or to our crazies. You know, it's not a question if we're somewhat insane. We all are. You know, it's just the level of our insanity. You know, we're the only people or the only animal on the planet that decides to destroy its own nest. You know, we're destroying our own nest, our own, you know, everything that you are touching and sitting on and holding in your hand. All of that comes from the earth. Your cell phone, your chair, your car, even your body comes from the earth. Yet we insist on destroying it. That's somewhat crazy, isn't it? it's laughable, and yet it's also horrific. And yet, I'm here to remind you that your healing and then bringing the unique gift that you have in your heart makes a difference on the planet. It powerfully makes a difference. That you, your healing, your growth is so important. I cannot stress how important it is. We need you. We need you to love you. It's not just about you overcoming this neuroses or this fear. I mean, yes, it is important for you to learn from it and grow from it and see the gift in it. And yet it is also more than that. Because the world really does need you. It needs, your community needs you. Your family even needs you. Because your healing affects your family. It affects the environment. You know, a lot of these weather patterns are actually the repressed emotion of humanity. And that repressed emotion comes out as the toxins that we physically create, but also that we energetically create. See, conscious emotion is not going to create that toxicity in the world and make your body sick and affect your children and your animals and show up in different chaotic things in your life. That conscious emotion, see, conscious emotion has a direction. Emotion means energy in motion. And when emotion is given awareness, I'm aware that I'm angry, I'm aware that I'm scared, I'm aware that I'm insecure, that's the magic. I mean, I'm only saying what all the wisdom traditions say, right, but in my own unique song. So I'm saying what Buddhist teachings say, I'm saying what Hinduism says, I'm saying what Christian mysticism says, is that just be aware that emotion needs motion. And that as you're consciously aware of it, it gives it a direction. And then it allows it to move through. Emotion that is not given awareness, that is not, that is repressed. I'm denying that I have fear. I'm scared of my own fear. I'm scared of my own anger. I don't know what to do with it. Maybe I haven't been taught, you know. So many of us have been taught the John Wayne model of strength, women and men. And so many of us have been taught through religion that emotion is bad. So then we go into repressing it, and then it's got to go somewhere, right? And we have a copious amount of research now that shows that Every illness has emotional connection. And yet, we don't want to take that to an extreme, because I have seen people really get on a choo-choo train of guilt and suffering by saying, I created my cancer, I created my asthma, et cetera, et cetera. That, it's to remember that there is a personal responsibility to be taken in things, and yet there's something greater than what our mind can fathom around that. That the God of your understanding, be it nature, Christ, Buddha, your own breath, energy, it's got a great plan for you. It's got a great destiny for you. And yet again, that requires your willingness to look within. But you have some magic in you, my dear. You have some greatness within you. You have some beauty within you that's waiting to get out. And what would it feel like? Let's breathe together for a few breaths. What would it feel like to give that permission? See, too often people will ask what it is, need to know their purpose before they let it out. You know, asking what is their path and not realizing they're already on it. Living their life like it's a chess game. Rather than yielding to that gift, letting it give that energy, that gift, that force, that life force permission now within you. Can you give it permission right now, even for 7 or 8 breaths together? Good, and take a few more breaths. Allow me to support you. Allow me to love you. And allow the divinity of your own being to love you. Good. And one more breath. Good. There's great power in this work. Meaning when you begin to look within and you open up, that there's so much energy. It's almost like dropping a pebble. It is like dropping a pebble in the pond, and the ripples go out. When you set an intention setting is really important. And not intention from the place like you're making it happen, or again, that like a chess game, but making an intention for your day, and then for your week, and for your month. And when you set an intention, then you're able to see the signs that are supporting you and loving you. And it helps people. The intention is a tool. It helps people to trust and just to know. It's not a matter of trust, because it is. It's kind of like you can trust that there's your hand, but your hand is your hand. But trust begins as a stepping stone. But so it's that intention helps you to trust or see that thing that is showing up that is trying to bring forth a new understanding, a new awareness. It helps you to see the gift in it. Too often people will set intentions and then think it has to be all, there should be no emotion coming up or no struggles. Or they set an intention and then they go into, and this would be something I would do, not as much anymore, but I set an intention and then I go about trying to make it happen, taking too much action rather than yielding. And it is learning to walk that middle ground. You know, it's not being completely non-active and doing nothing. And it's also taking wise, skillful action. You know, too often people meditate or do inner work or self-growth, and they'll be like, oh, the world's going to take care of itself, and we just got to be happy. And then you have the other extreme where you have people running around, burning themselves out in activism and missions, and the middle ground of that is to be able to take more wise, skillful action, which means action that is grounded in peace and love. And action that is not grounded in peace and love is actually violence towards yourself and another, ultimately. Good. And let's take one more breath together. So I am out here in Boulder, and I am finishing this master's. Well, I got another year, so you're going to hear me talking about it on and off. And I'm so grateful I've done this. It's such an amazing program. I've been a transpersonal therapist for 15 years, teaching self-acceptance and self-love, and it just amazes me how learning is never done. You know, learning is such an adventure, and you know, it doesn't have to be in a school, of course. Life has been the greatest teacher for me, and serving others. But right now, this program is really, really, really wonderful. We've been studying. And the teachers are just masters in the field. We've been studying Stephen Foster and Meredith Little's work and the Four Directions, or they call it the Four Shields, and really tying it in with the psychology of our growth. And I thought I'd share that with you today and offer the gift to you of what I received. And some of this material you can actually look up Stephen Foster's work. He does the Outward, the School with No Borders. He is the person that brought rites of passage and vision quests to North America. He's like the grandfather that brought this here. And a lot of programs, beautiful programs, have grown from his work. So the Four Directions are such a simple yet many, many, many layers of how that can grow. And they call it the Four Shields out of respect for the indigenous culture, that they're taking that material and they're, you know, Americanizing it a bit. And so rather than using the term that's not really theirs to you, that's why they use the Four Shields. So in the energy of the South, that's the red energy, is the body. That's when we're a child, right? And we have that raw emotion and we have that individual spirit and we're just going to do it no matter what. That's the energy of the South. And the South has that again, the word rawness is the best I can, that raw emotion, and it's passion and inspiration and sensuality and sexuality, and we have an innocence about us, a beautiful innocence. And then innocence always goes with violence, though. You know, that's part of being human, that we have that duality that we have to be able to witness and then transcend. So at some time in the South, some violence happens with our innocence, with those childhood wounds. And then that carries us into the energy of the West, which is self-acceptance, feeling your emotions, going into the unknown, looking at our shadows. And our shadows makes it sound so scary, but those are the part of us that are really insecure, are fearful. And we witness those, of course, with compassion. And that's the energy of the West. And then we can go, if we're growing, and you can go into each direction in minutes and weeks or months, and then we go into the energy of the South, I'm sorry, the North. And in the North, we go into the mind. We also go into the energy of divine order and wisdom. And the North is... Yeah, I'll talk about the shadow of each. So the shadow of the South is we can stay in the child, right? Our individualistic nature, I'm going to do it on my own and you know, I don't care if this upsets you and gets in your way. I'm going to just, you know, block all the traffic with my car, kind of road rage kind of energy. And, you know, that's a lot of different teachers have jokes about this, but it's, I can't remember the teacher's name, I can't quote it, but basically that we stay in that level. We stay in the child. We haven't grown out of our child. We haven't grown out of that adolescent child phase. We as a culture, we haven't, because we don't have rites of passage. We don't, it's like none of us ever can, how many people, you know, it's in dating, which has been an adventure, I could tell you some great stories of my growth in that, but of, you know, men that will say, I'm a child and I'm just going to be a child the rest of my life, and almost proud of it. They don't know how to become men. And I see women like that too, that they're princesses and they don't know how to become queens, stuck in the archetype of the maiden. And then when a maiden and a prince date, the prince tries to rescue the maiden, but the maiden can never really fully receive his gifts and blessings because she's got to first be able to receive it for herself. She's got to become the queen, and then she can receive a king. And a king must learn the value of his emotions and really begin to take radical accountability for what he's feeling, and instead of blaming others or not even noticing his feelings. So with the maiden, she's got to learn self-reliance, and with the prince, he's got to learn radical accountability with his emotions. So then the shadow of the West, and circling back to what I was talking about, the shadow of the West is becoming too much in self-reflection, too much. It's the energy of trying to explain the universe on a post-it note that I joke with my mentorees, my students that I guide. You know, and then I guide them from there into some form of action, which is the energy of the North, where we go into giving our gifts, some type of action, some type of movement, some type of service, or something in the intellect. We create structure, boundaries, order. It's all in the energy of the North. And now structure, boundaries, order, the patriarchal system, the mechanistic Newtonian models that we have in our life, that those we get really, you know, the culture, we have a paradigm, we have an inclination towards the mind, right? We're really stuck in our whole North America, in the world, where that's the industrial growth society, there's not scientific proof, it doesn't exist, you know, no matter that it's benefited people for thousands of years. We get stuck in the energy of the North. And then people that are stuck in the West need the mind, right? We need the balance of it. And this is a different way of explaining what I've taught. If you've listened to other radio shows or you happen to be somebody that I mentor, I've taught this as the balance of yin and yang, or the balance of masculine and feminine. So this is saying the same thing essentially in another way, which is a great way of learning, right? We got to hear the same thing a million times. And each time we hear it, we expand and hear it for the first time. And then we go into the energy of the East, which is insight and creativity, and that's the mystical energy. And so if somebody's stuck in the North, in the mind, what do they need to do? They need to meditate. They need to create. They need to dance. They need to do something that is more making the invisible visible. And they need to allow themselves to have that transcendent experiences to help pull them out of their mind. Of course, if you're really in the mind and you see someone meditating or dancing in nature, you're like, oh, that is the dumbest thing in the world. A really great man in my course is an amazing leader and activist in the master's program with me. He is, I believe, I'm not for sure his age, but he's I think over 50, but he's had a history of just years of activism, and about 15, 20 years, he was sharing with me how he used to think things like meditation and the transcendent stuff was so silly, and now he says it's changed his life. You know, how many times have you heard that kind of reply, stuff that we thought was so stupid? We, you know, their mind will dismiss the miracles. We'll call it stupid, or we'll find it boring. And the very medicine that we need is right there in front of us, right? I know there's times I said, oh, that's too simple. That's just too simple. Like when I was introduced about 5-6 years ago to nonviolent communication, my first response to it was, oh, that's too simple. And then I was able to see beyond my initial wall, my prejudice, and see the gift of it, the power that it brought. So then if someone is stuck into the East, that would be an airy fairy, right? That would be someone that is just twirling and meditating and really has not brought it into the energy of the South, the body. So in the South, it's the body, the child. And then you go up into the West, which is the adolescent. And then you go into the North, which is the adult. And you take it into the transpersonal. So from the personal to the interpersonal in the West, to the transpersonal into the North, and then the transcendent in the East. And so you can see this model. I mean, it's I'm presenting it pretty simple, but it's pretty wonderful. I've been studying it for a few years, and it's like all simple things. It has many, many layers. And so Stephen Foster's work is, if you'd like to learn more about that. And so I ask you right now of just really checking within and seeing, where do you think you are right now? Not where you'd like to be. Where are you? Are you in the energy of raw emotion and passion? Are you in the body? Or are you in energy of the West right now? Are you doing a lot of inner growth and self-reflection? Or are you in the energy of the North right now? Are you in a lot of mind work, trying to understand things through the mind? And you analyze a lot. And you work with technology and in the intellect. Or are you in the energy of the East? If you're in the energy of the East, you may not be listening to this show. No, just kidding. it would be too much problem. You're off meditating. So I ask you, what energy do you think that you're in? So let's do a fun practice together. Would you like to do that? So I'd like you to begin facing. If you know your directions in your area, that's great. If you don't, then you'll just symbolically place a direction. So if you got to do some thought, you're like, I don't know which way is west, which way is east. So right now I just want you to face what you think is south. And that energy of the body, of touch and taste and innocence, where violence and innocence combine, where it can show up as road rage or that Peter Pan syndrome I talked about where you never grow up. And so in that energy of the South, that emotional power, that uncentered emotional power, are you in that energy? No judgment. Again, see the gift. No shame, no judgment here. Just check in. What does that feel like? What do you intuitively know? If you haven't already, stand up and face that direction of the South. Let your physical body support you. Let your breath support you. All right. Now I want you to move and face the energy of the West. That's the adolescence, twilight. It's when you're asking questions. You know, in adolescence, when you're a teenager, you're asking a lot of questions. What am I going to do with my life? Why am I here? A lot of self-doubt. You're in the underworld, exploring your shadows. Again, this is good. If you're in that, that's good too. And that's good too. So face the energy of the West, that transition energy, being willing to be in that interpersonal place at adolescence. And allow yourself to be there. Allow yourself to just feel that West energy of introspection. Are you asking those kind of questions in your life? Or maybe you need to ask those kind of questions. Have you? Allow yourself to feel that energy of the West. The West is also about, it's like the teenage years, that area I mentioned, the child and the teenage years we don't grow out of, where we're taking risks, we're bumping up against our borders, we're bumping up against death, trying to find where do we end, where do we begin? We push the edge of sex and we push the edges of drugs and boundaries, trying to find our boundaries, trying to find who we are, which is a healthy process when we're a teenager. And sometimes we go into that in different phases. Sometimes we got to cross our boundaries to know our boundaries. We bump up against people. We bump up against those boundaries trying to find ourselves. All right, now turn. I'd like you to face the energy of the North, the interpersonal, the winter. And that's the gifts we're here to give to others. We work as adults. We become adults in the North. We begin to understand our love for another is a love for ourselves. We make systems. And, of course, the shadow is workaholism and the intellect and being caught in our mind. So just facing the energy of the North and feeling that, facing your body there and breathing, noticing what insights come. You're doing good. Take a few breaths. All right, now we move finally into the transpersonal. I said this incorrectly earlier, but we move into the energy of the transpersonal, which is the East and the Elder. We go from the child and the South into the adolescent, into adult, interpersonal, to the transpersonal, the Elder. And this is where we begin to see things with new eyes. This is creativity, enlightenment, turning towards the East now and feeling that in your body. That sense of wonder, that sense of awe. To recapture that awe in your life, that clairvoyance, that clairsentience, that feeling of God in your heart, in your body, that sensing it in your bones. It's a chance to hit the refresh button. To allow a new understanding, a new you to emerge. And then if you were continuing to grow, you'd circle back into the South, which is about, again, tapping into that raw emotion, that passion, that innocence. So I hope that gave you a sense of it and maybe an interest of studying that a little bit more. Because there's so much, what I would love for you to gain from this as well is just seeing that there is such a harmony and order in your spiritual growth. You know, we just haven't been given models in our culture. We haven't been told that it's normal to go into the energy of the West once in a while. You know, when we're in that introspection and growth and we don't know, you know, we feel like in the energy of the West, it feels like things are dying. You know, it feels like you don't know who you are for a while. It could be a couple months, or it could be a year, a few weeks, whatever you need. And in that energy that, you know, we get put on a medication or we get shunned by family, and we don't have the support that we need. You know, thank God we have therapy that's grown, and we have mentors on the planet. But I've heard some stories of people when they're in the energy of the West. Or if you need that raw passion in your life, let's say you've been in a marriage for 25 years where you've shut down your passion, and you really haven't felt that sensuality, that powerful life force that is confined only to the word of sexuality. Because sexuality is more than that. It's your vitality, it's your passion, it's that force within you that men can be scared of. They believe they might cheat on their wives, or they don't know how to let that move through them in their own being. You know, sometimes violence can bring that out in them, like football or fighting, but how to bring that out in our own life. You know, something where men don't have that physical building of the house. They don't have that nice charge, that sacred masculine. And many men have lost their sacred masculine. And then women have lost their feminine goddess, that sexual passionate energy. They've shut it down because they don't know how to have boundaries. They don't know how to speak their needs. They've confused that needs are weak, and our assumption in culture that a lovable woman is one that has no needs. And they feel guilty about having needs. And then they become resentful of their partner, thinking that it's their partner's job to know what their needs are. Or, a lot of women just don't even know how to communicate their needs. They feel shameful and guilty for even doing so. I mean, a lot. So if that happens to be you, don't be surprised. It's knowing your needs and not reacting to them, not shaming yourself for them, and then staying open around your need, breathing around it, and then allowing the universe to see it, allowing your need to be met is a process. In fact, I believe it's the key to happiness. Because then if you do communicate your need to another, it's in such a grounded, peaceful way. And if they do want to meet that need and they communicate theirs, then something magical happens. Intimacy, connection, conscious communication, or nonviolent communication, connection. And if you do communicate it and they aren't able to meet it, then you're not in a panic because you know that the universe will have to meet that need in some way. It's like when you know your needs are important, then all your needs are already met. You know, isn't that the paradox? You got to speak in duality because we are in duality, but you have to know your needs are important to also know all your needs are already met. It's a process. It's a process I take a lot of men and women through that I really, really love doing because on the other side, they realize how beautiful and how lovable they truly are. They begin to realize that all these stories of being worthless are really because they haven't been listening to their own needs. It's not because they're damaged. It's not because they have some pathology. It's not because they did something that, you know, in the past. It's none of that. It is none of that. In fact, Marshall Rosenberg has that famous quote that says, guilt is a tragic expression of our needs. And so maybe you need to be in the energy of the North. Now, if you have been one that's been doing a lot of inner work, there's some action you may need to take. Or begin to give your gifts in little ways. Maybe writing a poem and placing it on a board somewhere that says, you are awesome. In fact, there's a guy here in Boulder that holds a cardboard cutout that says, you are awesome. And he does it a few hours every day, and you just see people smiling, and, I mean, he really does make a difference on the planet. It's really, it's like what that's what his calling was to do. Or I have friends that are like, they do, you know, that there's so many things, there's so many ways that you can give and serve. There's so many ways. There's so many people that need help. In fact, I don't know who said this quote, but if you can't find a way to serve, then your eyes are not open, something like that, because there's so many people that need help. And so there's so many ways to let that energy move through you and remind you that you are that love. You are the mountains. You are the air you breathe. You are the smile that you put on that person's face. And you're not giving and serving because you have to or to find your worth. You're doing it because it is you. Because loving another is loving yourself. And so you may need to move into that energy of the North. You need to get to work. Maybe you've been doing too much introspection. That's rare, but maybe you have. Maybe you need to put some things in action. What do you need to take action on? Did anything come up for you? And again, maybe you need to be in the energy of the East. You need to be in the things that really raise your vibration, you raise your energy, like meditation, like Qigong, like Tai Chi, being in nature, creating something. There's so many ways that you can tap into that broader self, that broader mind, but you know, meditation, nature, creating something, all great tools. If you already have a spiritual practice, well, then that. If it's getting on your knees and praying to Christ, then that is a wonderful practice of the East. So there's so much gifts. There's so much magic within you. And I hope that from today, from listening, you had some insights that you will write down or some ahas or some thoughts. We do need to capture those, you know. It's so easy to dismiss them. And writing them down is not so that you can hold on to them, but so that you can percolate a little bit, do some, my mouth's not working here, contemplative meditation. You know, if you take a walk, a powerful, powerful practice that I ask a lot of the people I mentor to do is to go on nature walks and to take an intention into their nature walk. So if your intention is to love yourself, you take that and you let different, it's like you're on this little vision quest, this little retreat in your 30-minute walk, and you will be amazed at what shows up. Or you take a question into your walk, and you allow it. Then once you take that question, right, you set it, and then you surrender. Like I talked about earlier, we need to set the intent and then let it go. So there's this great magic that happens, great that you're able to enter into that harmony. Do you know they did a survey, they're telling us here at Naropa, they did a survey of all the different transcendent experiences, I think thousands and thousands, and there's been over 100 studies that have shown that the number one thing that creates transcendent experiences in people, that you know, when I surveyed folks, 60% of the people said I've had some type of transcendent or holy experience where I felt I was connected to something greater than me. Do you know what it was? It was nature. Isn't that amazing? 60% is nature. Now, the other 40% said it was something else. So it was prayer, it could be sex, it was whatever. It was maybe whatever. Something brought them into that experience. Now, here's the other thing that was very interesting. This is research presented by Dr. John Davis. But they asked, how did that influence your life? How much did that affect you later on in life? Do you still feel the effects of that transcendent experience, in other words? So out of the 40% that it was through other forms other than nature, only 40% said it was still there. No, I'm sorry, 30%. And out of the nature experience people, that 60%, over 50% said it was still there with them. So isn't that interesting? Now, nature could be just you sit by a tree in a park and you allow yourself to breathe into your tailbone. Very powerful practice of connecting your tailbone to the roots or getting to know some nature of space, becoming just like you're acquainted with your bed or you're acquainted with your car, getting acquainted with a piece of nature in your area can really help to calm the mind and ground you, bringing some east energy and south energy into your body, pulling you out of any watery emotion or out of the mind. There's so much help. There's so much love out there for you. I do hope that you open up to it a little bit more by listening to today's show. In fact, in the energy of love, I'm putting together, I'm very excited, a retreat for August. It'll be August 9th and 10th. And it's going to be a self-love intensive, but more from the perspective of a non-dual love. You know, not the love that's the opposite of hate. Meaning a love that includes both love and hate. A love that includes the individual autonomous self as well as the interdependent co-arising self. A love that includes all parts of you, the non-dual love, the omnipotent love. So it's going to be a non-dual love intensive. I'm kind of playing with the name right now. And we're going to have nature-based therapies or nature-based practices that are going to help support that. As well as I'll be very interested in, we're going to be working with the question, what is love? And so we do partner practices as well as some movement experiences around what is love. And then the third thing is I'm going to be very interested in people developing a morning practice. I find that a lot of people don't have a daily spiritual practice. And then they're wondering why they feel off in the day. It's kind of like if you didn't brush your teeth every day, your teeth would be in trouble. If you didn't take a shower on a regular basis, there would be problems there, right? And so our inward self is no different. We need a daily practice and a daily ritual to ground us, to connect us into the trueness, the essence of our being. And it's almost like, you know, people that get so stressed out and worked up, it's like, I'll ask them, well, what's your practice? And they won't have something. They'll just do it maybe just on Sunday. And then, bless their hearts, it's like it's really hard to be grounded and peaceful if you don't have a daily practice. It's almost impossible. And we have so many things distracting us, so many things that are calling our attention to other directions, right? Telling us to buy this, eat this, do this, think this way. That we need that daily practice, even 10 minutes. If you woke up and you developed a practice of some stretching, some yoga, and some breathing, and you read out of a prayer book or something that inspires you, maybe one of my books, or out of the Bible, or whatever. Something that inspires you. So that is going to be August 9th and 10th. And it's going to be at my father's farm. And the accommodations are roughing it, but it allows me to keep the price really low for everyone. And then I'm percolating on something I'm going to put together I'm excited about in October or into September, which I'm going to have at the Emmerich Retreat Center, a little bit cozier. And so I'm excited about those things that are coming forward. So you can also go to my website at acceptedasiam.com. I haven't posted the retreat information yet there. And you can also friend me on Facebook. I send out invites there as well. Barbara White 1 is how you find me. And it's B-A-R-B-R-A, not with seven letters. And then you can also call me, although I am out of town, as I said, till June 26th. So after June 26th, you can call me at 734-455-1438, 734-455-1438. And I just want to honor you and thank you for joining today and giving this gift to yourself, knowing that time spent within your being and learning about yourself and your spirit is time well spent. So I honor to you for giving yourself that gift today. So much, much love to you, and hopefully I will have the joy and honor of meeting you or connecting with you in some way or possibly mentoring you, and really honored and privileged to be a part of all the people's lives that I am. Thank you for letting me be a part of your life today. I send you much love and a remembrance that there's so much good, there's so much blessings waiting for your invitation. There is. There truly is. There's so much that is just waiting for you to open up to and give permission to. It is within you. It is truly within you and around you, waiting your invitation, waiting your opening. It is possible. It is possible. I mean, we call it miracles, but it is. It's there waiting for you. That miracle is possible. Healing is possible. A relationship is possible. Happiness is possible. And so I affirm that for you, knowing it in the core of my being. Much love to you.